What? I haven't even told the joke yet. Lord, we just thank you for this night. Thank you for this time of worship together, this time of learning together. Lord, we do pray that your words would come forth from this pulpit, that they would guide us and that they would lead us, that they would lift us up and encourage us, Lord. Pray that your words and your words only, in Jesus' name, amen. So I test ran a few of these jokes, and I got mixed results on them. Some people, I never get to laugh at them, and some people laugh really hard at them. But what do you call a dragon with heartburn? Bad news. And then one that I got a pretty hard laugh out of, I take great pride in my lawn. I enjoy mowing and getting done and seeing the nice lines in the lawn. And most people wait and they put it off till Saturday or Sunday. But I look at the weather forecast and I go, when's the earliest I can mow my lawn? I'm like, oh, if I get home and I get right on it, I can mow my lawn. Well, did you know I have a chicken-proof lawn? Yep, it's impeccable. All right, with that, let's dive into, there we go. The delayed laugh is the best. Let's go ahead and jump into the word. I've got quite a few different scriptures that we're going to touch on tonight. And I asked Bob, I asked Bob if he could put a few pictures up on the slide for me. And then I emailed them to me in the middle of worship. I don't know where Bob went. So there may or may not be a few pictures up here about mountains in the middle of the service or not. But we're going to start out in Psalm 1. And, yeah, there we go. Thank you, Val. Val has hacked into Bob's email. Not really, just kidding. I'm sure he opened it for her. But in Psalm 1:1, the word of God said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. As I was preparing the message tonight, I sat down and I said, okay, Lord, what would you have me to speak on? And this childhood nursery rhyme started going through my head. And the one line, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And I thought, wow, that is so appropriate. For the world that we live in is walking more and more in darkness and in sin. And as the Hewlett family, Dennis Sr. and Jr. and their families are preparing to go out on the mission field, and as our teens are preparing to go down to Puerto Rico on the mission field, I just thought, what an appropriate topic tonight. Oh, be careful, little feet. You see, in life, we have choices. We have choices what we listen to. We have choices what we read, what we watch, where we go. And for every choice, there's a reward. I'm not even going to say a consequence. There's a reward. When we make good choices, the reward is good. And when we make bad choices, the reward is bad. But as I was going through the scripture and just studying, you know, what does the Bible have to say about feet? I wanted to start in Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. What would the opposite of that be? So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The unspoken there is blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the godly. As I kept reading different verses that I was finding, I found this two sides of the coin thing kind of happening in my notes, where here's a verse where it's showing the blessing, and then here's a verse where it's showing when you're making the bad choices. So if we can turn over to Proverbs 6:18. We're going to take a look at the flip side of being blessed. In Proverbs 6:18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. So we have an option here. We can walk in the counsel of the godly, or we can have feet that are swift to mischief. It really doesn't take a lot to figure out which of those is the better option. You know, I don't have this verse written down, but I think about, you know, the verse in the Bible where it talks about the Lord saving us from the snare that's been laid for us, like a bird that's got a net set out to trap it, that he saves us from the snare of the enemy, of the wicked one, or wicked ones of the world. And I can't help but think of that, like that we have those two options. We can walk in the counsel of the godly or the ungodly. When we walk in the counsel of the godly, we're going to find ourselves sitting at the gates of the city, sharing wisdom and ideas back and forth with the influence makers of the city. But when Proverbs 6:18. When our feet are swift to running to mischief, do you think you're going to be promoted into those places where your counsel is being sought? No. You're going to be known as that person where, you know, if you want to do well, you should probably avoid that person. They're getting in trouble all the time. You know, kids, see him? Steer clear of him. He's nothing but trouble. So we have choices. I asked Bob to put the pictures up because, and Val is helping him with that. There's this desire of mine to be in the mountains. And, you know, there's the verse, the saying, not a verse, sorry, from Muir, you know, the mountains are calling and I must answer them. But I've dragged my kids along, as many as are willing. And as we hike in the mountains, I found that we can use the opportunity of all of this time that we have. Because I'm hiking with younger kids, a trip that should take 4 hours might take 9. So you get up there early and you get home late. But as you're walking, I found that it's a great time because it's so quiet. There's other people. They're often overtaking us on the trail and passing by. You know, see you at the top. You're almost there. Sometimes we see them coming back down from the summit, letting us know you've almost made it. You're getting there. Good job. But I found that most of the time you're on the trail and you're alone and it's quiet. And it's a great time to teach my kids the Word of God. So I'll pick a verse that has something to do with the mountains and we'll memorize it. And the best way to memorize something is by repeating it over and over and over and over again. And as people come up to me, that's when I start having them say it. You know, we might have been taking a break. I hear voices coming up the trail. Hey, guys, what was that verse we're memorizing? And then as these people are passing us, we're speaking the Word of God in the mountains, in the wilderness places of New York. We're speaking the Word of God. And sometimes the people smile and we have a short conversation about it. And sometimes they almost seem to pick their pace up a little bit. But either way, it's an opportunity to witness, to sow into my kids, and to bring the gospel to the mountaintops. In Deuteronomy 11:18 through 24, my very first pair of hiking shoes, boots, that I ever had, I wrote this verse in permanent marker across the back of my heel on the sole of my foot. And then I went on the missions field and I proclaimed these verses everywhere I went, physically and through the fact that they were written on my boot. So Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words, these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep all these commands which I commanded you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall your coast be. Verse 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. You know, in Deuteronomy, it's being spoken to the Israelites, to the Hebrew nation, as they're getting ready to go in and take that which has been promised to them. I wrote it on the heel of my hiking boots as I went to Nepal and India, Singapore and Bhutan. And I even walked through the airports in Hong Kong, so I'm claiming that land for the Lord also. And I said, you know what? As I walk, I'm making a spiritual proclamation that we are claiming these lands for his kingdom. We are reclaiming America. We are reclaiming India, Nepal, Bhutan, wherever you walk. And I thought of this verse as I was preparing because I thought about how I take the word and I'm having my kids memorize those verses as we walk through the mountains. It's like, you know what? We're doing that. We're reclaiming area. We're claiming souls. We're claiming lives for God's kingdom. The enemy sets out a snare to try to trap us, try to trap the world, to trip them up, cause them to stumble. What are we doing about it? We need to be going forth and sharing the gospel. We need to be proclaiming truth. When a lie is spoken, or a half-truth is spoken, or something is spoken out of context, we need to be stepping up and saying, that's not right. Here's why, but here's what is right. You know, I had an opportunity to talk with, for lack of better terms, the dumpster diver at work. You know, this guy comes through our parking lot every day. He walks. He's got bags with him. He goes into the dumpster. He pulls out the recyclables. He takes them back and he recycles. He's not homeless. He's got a home. He's got a wife. He finds it profitable. And when you stop and talk with him, he wants to talk to people about his religion. And it's weird. I talked to him for probably 15 minutes one day, and he gave me a business card. He goes, don't mind what's on the business card. It's the book I've written on the back. You need to go and read that book. As soon as I left, I went and I researched the book. And I said, no, I don't need to read that book. But as we talked, he was sharing truth, but truth that had clearly been misguided and twisted and misdirected, that was leading him down a different direction. And I just thought, man, there's got to be a way to reach this man. And as I talked to him, he would tell me things like, wow, I can see that you are a wise old soul in a young man's body. And I could see that you're open, and I can see that you're willing, and I can see that you care about people. I'm going, great, let me pray for you. And he's studied all of the different religions in the world, and his religion is the father of all of those religions, and it's deep and it's twisted, and there's bits of truth in there. So I pray for him. Whenever I see him, I'll be pulling my car back into the van at back into the parking lot at Lifesong, and I'll see him coming or going. I'm like, Lord, give me another opportunity to talk to him. Put more people in his life to reach out to him, to redirect him and to steer him. He's one of the harder individuals to reach because he thinks he knows a higher way. He's studied Christianity and he thinks he knows a higher way. And I'm like, man, I know a fallen angel that thought he knew a higher way. But wherever we walk, are we walking with a mindfulness? As we go to and from our daily life, are we going about in a mindfulness, looking for, as Pastor Moore so frequently does, looking for those divine appointments where you can reach out and touch somebody's life and influence them positively for Christ? Reaching out and praying for them. Letting them know that you care. Letting them know that they're important. You know, sometimes it's as simple as just letting them know, hey man, Jesus loves you. You know, Mark taught me that the first time we went soul winning down in Washington Park. I came across a real intellectual kind of guy, and he kind of wanted to match wits with me a little bit to show that he was smart and to show that he could, but he didn't really want to hear what I had to say. And I picked up on it really quick, and I was just kind of banging my head on the wall, and I'm going, you know what? There comes a point where you just stop. And I thanked him for his time. And as we were getting ready to walk away, Mark turned around and he goes, sir, can I just tell you one thing? And he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, Jesus loves you. And the guy turned and he looked at me. He goes, see, your disciple here, he gets it. And he stood up and gave Mark a big hug. And he goes, that's the message right there that you need to be preaching, Jesus love. And I was like, man, it was trying this one way and I just wasn't seeing it. And sometimes it's just as simple as just saying, Jesus loves you. And that could be all that's needed to break down that wall. But are you willing to go out of your comfort zone and say it? Especially in this PC world that we live in, where everything can come back and bite you in the end, and you could get pulled into your office at work and say, you know, I've heard that you were proselytizing out in the around the water cooler and telling people that Jesus loves them, and you know, this isn't the place for that. You know, that potential is always there. But are you willing to risk it and do it anyway? The disciples were, you know, they were arrested and told, you know, we don't really have anything on you. And everything you say is true. And we've searched the scriptures and you're not wrong. But just the same, could you just stop saying it? Could you stop using Jesus' name when you're talking to people? And no, we're not. You release us, we're gonna keep preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. So are you gonna release us? You got nothing on us. Yeah, go ahead. You know, are you willing to be that bold to say, you know, I'm not gonna stop talking about Jesus? It's the truth, and people need to know that Jesus loves them. So we also have Isaiah 59:7. Deuteronomy took me a little longer than I thought it was. That was that positive verse about, you know, where you can make a good choice and what that choice could result in. The people of Israel could have chose to say, no, you know, we like it on this side of the river. We're not going to cross the Jordan. We're not going to go in and claim our promise. We're satisfied with that which you've given us and shown us and have done for us, and we're just going to stay right here. But they didn't. They chose to walk forward in that promise. Isaiah 59:7. Just kind of some, for some context, the prophet Isaiah is kind of scolding Israel a little bit here. In verse 2 it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And we skip down to 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. You know, going back to the example of whether you choose to walk in the counsel of the godly and be promoted to the city gates where you can share wisdom with those who are seeking answers to real-world problems as well as spiritual problems, or you can choose to allow your feet to run into evil. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The end result of rushing into evil is not just that you are seeking to waste and destroy others. Waste and destruction comes to you. You know, it says that he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. And I can't help but think about the story of the Good Samaritan and how he was walking through an area where it was known to have a lot of robbers and thieves and lots of places for him to hide and wait in ambush. And he got ambushed. But I can't help but think of that verse. He who walks by the, lives by the sword dies by the sword. Whatever happened to those thieves? You know, I would imagine if they didn't repent and turn from their ways, I'm going to go with verse 7 here of Isaiah 59. Waste and destruction is in their path, are in their paths. You know, if you don't turn from your iniquity, if you don't choose to start making changes and walking in truth and sharing truth, but if you don't turn from your wicked ways, wicked things happen. And it's not a consequence so much as it is a reward. If you sow good seed, you will reap a good harvest. If you sow bad seed, you are going to reap a bad harvest. It's your reward for the work that you have put in, the toil that you've put into that which you've been spending your time in. So it's kind of like a challenge to ourselves. How are we spending our time? Are we watching mindless entertainment? Or are we reading our Bibles and in Bible studies and learning and sharing and going out and trying to have a positive effect, trying to reach souls for God's kingdom? You know, are we sitting back and watching the evening news and going, wow, that's really terrible. I wish someone would do something. Or are we saying, wow, that's really terrible. What can I do to change that situation? I'm running out of time, so I'm not even going to explain mindless entertainment. Ask me later. It's kind of saying the same thing twice. In Proverbs 4, I'm kind of skipping around here a little bit, back and forth. In Proverbs 4, verse 26 and 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, there's so many verses along the same line of thought. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It's another encouragement. Ponder the way that you should be going in the Lord, what he has planned for you. Know your calling and election and be sure of it, and then walk in it and don't sway from it, right or left. Just stick to the path that he has laid out from you. Remove your foot from evil and walk in good that he has laid out for you. Watching the clock tick down. Going to go through these next three verses pretty quickly. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, rather than being consumed with mindless entertainment and drama of the world and drama of social media, how about we be consumed with the word of God, the lamp unto our feet? I don't know what God wants for me. I don't know what his plan is for me. Read your Bible. He'll tell you. Read your Bible. He'll tell you. When you find it, when you get that one spot where it's like scripture just jumps off the page at you, do something your parents told you to never do. Write in the book. Grab a highlighter. Mark it up. Write in the margins. Put a date on it. Write down a thought about what it is you think God is calling you to do. Sign it. Name it. Claim it. Put it in there. On this day, God called me to do this. This is how I think he wants me to do it. You want to get God to laugh? Tell him your plans. But by writing it down, having a plan to begin with, it gets the ball in motion so that he can start to gently direct you. You know, my son, my daughter, you are so close to what I was trying to tell you. Go for it. And I'm going to gently steer that ship this way just a little bit. There you go. That's what I want you doing. But mark it down, write it down, and then don't stray from it. We haven't been in the New Testament yet, so let's jump over to Romans. Romans 10. Verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I thought I was going to end there when I was doing my preparation. But I want to jump to the Old Testament verse that New Testament verse is based off from. But as I was in worship, God gave me one more verse that I have to touch on. So let's jump to Isaiah 52:7, and then we're going to jump back to Matthew. This is my favorite verse to have my kids memorize as we walk in the mountains. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings or good news, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigns. Thy God reigns. You know, We were hiking up Big Slide Mountain, and that was the verse that we were reciting. As we started out, we were walking along the Johns Brook, and it was nice and flat. The DEC officer said there's a lot of pointless ups and downs, a lot of PUDs, pointless ups and downs on that trail, and he was right. You'd go up a little hill, you'd go down a little hill, you'd walk flat. You'd go up a little hill, you'd go down a little hill, you'd walk flat. But the beautiful thing was it moved us about 3 miles in the direction we needed to go. And then over the course of a mile and a half, we gained about 1,500 feet in elevation, and we were up on the ridge and headed up the final ascent up onto the mountaintop. And as my kids started to get weary and slow down, I just start, you know, give them something different to focus on other than the pointless ups and downs. Hey, kids, Isaiah 52:7, what is it? And they would recite it. And as we got going, it just started to sink in, and they really started to get it and remember it. And other people walked by, and they're like, thank you for teaching your kids that verse. That's such a beautiful verse to teach while you're hiking in the mountains. And when we came back, I would have taken the Johnsbrook Trail every time, because the other one, you go over what's called the Three Brothers. And the Three Brothers are three smaller mountains that they make sound little because you have to climb them, but they don't count for the Adirondack 46 high peaks. They're three pointless mountains that you have to go over to get to the big mountain that you want to get up. And going back, my daughter's like, she's going to hate me for saying this in a church service, but she goes, Dad, this trail sucks pine sap. And I just kind of laughed. I said, look at the beautiful view of the mountains, though. I'm trying to encourage her. Look at the beautiful view of the mountains, though, hon. She goes, yeah, but it's the same view that we saw on the last mountain, just a little bit further along. I've seen that mountain. I don't want to see it again. So, all right, honey. And we get a little further, and there'd be another beautiful mountain view. There, well, look at that beautiful mountain view. She goes, isn't that the same mountains, Dad? Man, I'm trying, hon. But how beautiful are the feet of those who bring tidings of good news on the mountains. And then just to wrap up, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, the Great Commission. The 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto men in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, and even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, I find it interesting that God called them to a mountain where he was waiting for them. But then he said, go ye therefore. You know, we're not commanded to stay, except on the path that he's laid for us. But we're not commanded to stay. We're commanded to learn, and we're commanded to go and make disciples. You can make disciples in your local community, in your city, in your state, in your country, or in Albania, Serbia, Montenegro. You know, people ask. I get this a lot. I did my first missions trip when I was 17. And some of my own family members, there's a lot of people right here in our own backyards who need a lot of help. Why are you going over there? Why are you reaching out to them? And my response has always been the same from the time I was 17 to now. And I've heard other people respond the same way. Sure, there are a lot of people right here in our own community who need help, who need the gospel, who need salvation. But there are an awful lot of people staying to reach them. I am not one of them. I am called to go. Dennis is called to go. There are times where you come. There's times where you go. Only you know which God has called you to, whether he's called you to your local community, the bigger community surrounding it, your state, your country, or a foreign country. Only you know. And I want to close with a poem, St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which is to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now. When Christ went and ascended unto heaven, he gave us all power. And he gave it to us for a reason. He gave it that we would be his hands and feet. We would be his eyes of compassion, his mouth preaching the good news of salvation, making disciples, changing lives, bringing people into the Lamb's Book of Life, setting them free from the snares of the enemy when we see them about to step in it, grabbing them and pulling them back, saying, wait, stop. You're about to make a grave mistake. Let me tell you the truth. As I prepared for this and studied, you know, there's a lot of verses about the way our feet can get us into trouble. And I'm sure we all have stories of how our feet have gotten us into trouble, places we've chosen to go on where we maybe shouldn't. But it's more a message of encouragement. Look at all the verses that are in the Bible that are encouraging you of the good things that you can do when you walk in the paths of righteousness. As we close, I just want to close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that you have given us your word to guide us, to light our path before us. Lord, if there's any here who don't know your plan for their life yet, just reveal yourself to them, Lord, through your word, through those around them. Reveal your calling, Lord, that they would not stray from it right or left. Lord, it is the greatest desire of my heart to lead souls to salvation, to set people free from the snares of the enemy, that their names be in the Lamb Book of Life, that we be one soul closer to the beautiful trumpet blast that calls us all home in the rapture. If there is anyone listening to this message who has found encouragement, who has had the snares of the enemy revealed to them through this message, and who desires to become a child of God, a simple prayer of faith will set your feet on the path of righteousness. Father God, forgive me for I have sinned. I believe in you and I thank you for what you have done to save me from myself, to save me from the evil one who seeks to destroy everything in his path. I want to be a child of God, and I want to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, you're dismissed.